Jim, are there any students left on the IU campus, or are they all gone already?
Oh, no, they're still here. We still have midterms and, you know,
they can't leave yet.
Academic commitment.
But once that midterm is done, don't let the door hit you on the way out. So we'll have
weekend start on Thursday anyway. So.
That's right. And we'll have a quiet program next week as everybody will be cricketing out of here. And I don't blame him. If you can get to somewhere warmer, get to somewhere warmer. What's wrong with any of that? Well, since we've last talked to you, Jim, you've had some meetings going on. You've had some community open houses. You've had some feedback. Where is the – that's we're talking about the Lenco Bearcat and how that situation's working itself out. Talk about the city council's role in all of this and your role in it moving forward before we get into what you've learned so far.
Well, the city council's role, obviously, is to approve the budget and aspects of that. And this Bearcat purchase was earmarked for fiscal year 2019, which we talk about later this year. But there was reappropriations of some funds within the police department in that area. It was from a building project, and the bid came in twice as high. So that money was reappropriated, and then that's what went toward the Bearcat fund or the purchase. And I'm not quite sure if it's been purchased or ordered and all of that just yet. But so everything was legal. I think our role is we would prefer more public input on the front end, a little bit more transparency, if I dare say that word. And there's many personal opinions, I think, on this situation, and we'll just need to work through.
Jim, is it a done deal, though? I mean, I hear what you're talking about and other council people talking about transparency and, oh, they could have done this or that. But is it or isn't it a done deal?
It is my understanding that it is not.
Okay.
So the question is now when you say done deal, has it been paid for and all
well,
that? It's my understanding that is not the case. Has it been ordered and is it in production? My understanding is that it is. But we're not to the point that it's a done deal.
By that, I kind of meant, is it going to happen or not going to happen?
Well, I think that's still what we're debating with the communities and I think the community members. And that is the thing that I think of council members would have preferred more on the front end, you know, public meetings and hearings and discuss all this before moving forward. So there are some council discussions. We're meeting and we're talking amongst ourselves right yet. And obviously these aren't quite public just yet, but we're trying to work through it and, you know, try to do what's best for our constituents, I think.
Are you satisfied with the explanation of how the police would use it? Because that's what the community seems to be concerned about, that they're going to use it for other than what the police department indicates they would use it for.
Well, that's twofold. And to directly answer your question, I do. I've worked with Chief Dekoff for, you know, many, many years. So if there is a city official person that I do trust, Mike is that person. My position is that, just using this Lenco Bearcat as an example, it has a life expectancy of 20 years. So who's to say if Chief Dekoff will be around, which is likely not? Will the current mayor be around? Likely not. So that's one of our issues. Do I trust Mike and what his intentions are? Yes. Do I know who's going to be there in the future and will we have that same level of trust? I don't know, and it's kind of unlikely. Now, me personally, and I can't speak for all council members, but I believe that the Bloomington Police Department, in particular our CERT team, needs a version of an armored vehicle protection. But I don't think we need this Lenco Bearcat. And I know it's been said that it's municipal grade as opposed to military grade. But I think there are some social issues along with the Bearcat and those military grade or military appearing vehicles. You know, especially in a town that professes to be, you know, very liberal and progressive, such as Bloomington.
So is the next step going to be we all sit down and sort through the catalogs together and try to pick one out that's not that still does it? How do we get to the next step of this? Because the public safety officers that go into these situations that where one team plays by the rules and one team doesn't play by the rules, they have to be protected. Whose responsibility is to get them the proper equipment they need to be protected?
It's my understanding that's the police chief, and his administration, his officers. Our job is to do what we can to be as fiduciarily responsible with the funding, for that purchase. So we are in the process. I don't know all the details on what was vetted before the Lincoln Bearcat was decided on.
Right.
It was my understanding that there were several other vehicles that were looked upon and considered, but for one reason or another, decided not quite what the Bloomington Police Department needed. And those are the particular details that I'm looking more forward to hearing.
I agree with you because
if choices outside of the Bearcat, I guess.
Yeah, and if those choices outside the Bearcat are $50,000 to $100,000 more, we'll see where people's bread is buttered.
Well, that's true.
Well, that's true. I guess the point of my remark is the money is always going to be an issue with this, and the council's job is to make sure that the money is spent properly, like you said. But the court of public opinion, it's difficult in this situation because there are people and there are groups and there are everything else that have their opinion on what is and what isn't. But the safety of our police officers and everything else, that has to come into account. That's not going to be the council's position. That's where I'm trying to go with you on this side of it. Regardless of what you feel and what the people feel, the council has a job in this. The decision is going to come down to whether the police chief city want to open this process up to bring people into it. Having a referendum on this vehicle moving forward, will that open Pandora's box for things down the road?
Well, that's, again, one of the details that we're, in fact, one of the questions that I posed to my fellow council members when I just got back from Florida yesterday. So those are some of the questions that we want to discuss together and vet. What are some of the things that the city council can do or consider doing to ensure that there is public vetting before substantial reappropriations is used in the future. One of the things that I'm looking forward to discussing is the definition of substantial reappropriations. And what exactly does that mean with regard to us and public vetting or public hearings before moving forward? So there's still a few details, at least from the council side. Not only are we looking at the current situation, but we're also trying to look to avoid future public conflicts and confrontations.
Yeah, because this is an important issue, and I don't mean to – this isn't downplaying it at all. But the more – like you said, you roll your eyes when we say transparent. I'm saying that. The transparency part of it, that word is – the devil is always in the details of it. And moving forward, I hope it gets people who want to go through these things with a fine-tooth comb. I hope we have a fine-tooth comb store. They can go buy a fine-tooth, which is great because that's part of the process. But I don't think annually you can spend 6 to 9 months on one issue. That's we have other things going on, and it's hard to find that balance. But you're right. If the process keeps it legal but doesn't keep it in the forefront, that's going to be a tough one to deal with.
Well, it is, and that's one of the things that we're talking about in the future to avoid those type situations. I think the main thing at this point is what appears to be the militarization of our police force, and that is not my understanding. In fact, we would reject that. But if you introduce a vehicle such as this, that is military type, and let's just face it, there's some other racial perceptions that
absolutely
go along with the use of this vehicle, other social perceptions or realities, as the case may be in certain communities, that I think just flat out must be considered. And the ball was dropped. I mean, let's just face it, from a public betting before this happened, that portion was dropped. And I would emphasize that, and I've kind of heard these rumors, there was, to my understanding, no illegalities have occurred. Everything that happened is proper. It just would have been better, or legal. I don't know if proper is the right word.
Yeah.
It just should have been clarified in the front end and get the public input and, you know, make certain decisions on which direction to go before we actually did it.
And the moving forward from this will be the public should be more involved in this process, more than just rubber stamping it, saying, well, I voted for this and this is what happens. Because last time I checked the city council, how many members on the city council?
There's nine.
And how many Republicans sit on the city council?
Zero. I'll have to get back with
you
on that.
Yeah, it's the same as my grade point. Same as my grade point average the spring semester of my junior year. I remember what number that is. But well, that's the point. Everybody just assumes and quit assuming because it doesn't help anything at all. Jim Sims is
I will add. I'm not so sure I got that point though, with the makeup of the council. Did I miss that point?
No, there wasn't a point at all. None at all.
Okay.
None at all. We have no. Perhaps discussions. We have no discussions before we have to have discussions, so we don't have any discussions because everybody's on the same team doing the same thing.
Well, I get that, but I think in the future...
In the future, I like that.
Even when we have a full Democratic council, for an example, I don't want anyone to think that we're all sitting there with the exact opinions on every situation. And trust me, we have some pretty spirited discussions.
Good.
And to me, that's healthy. That's part of democracy. But I also think coming to a reasonable resolution is in order as well. And when you do not take into account the public's viewpoint on some things, then I think you end up where we are now.
I agree.
Jim, with that in mind, when will this all be finally decided?
Well, again, that's one of the... We're not sure there yet. We have the council, and I think I can speak for them on this point. We still have some other questions that we want directed toward the administration and with Chief Decoff. So more details. If I'm told, for an example, well, we looked at two or three other options before deciding on the Bearcat. Well, now I think it's important for us to know exactly what those two or three other options were. What do they entail? Are they municipal grade versus military grade? Can it be outfitted for other things other than what we've been told? You know, that sort of thing.
Okay. On another matter, if I can switch gears here, this happened before you were on the city council, the bicycle ordinance, but now we're seeing all kinds of stencils being painted in downtown Bloomington, things like that. I got to tell you, the first time I saw one of those stencils, I thought it said, mount your bicycle here, meaning park it here. I totally misinterpreted what it said.
Dismount zone.
Uh-huh. But I didn't catch it, and I didn't notice that was a skateboard in the other hand. So, you know, I've totally missed on that.
I walked around all day Saturday. I thought it said discount zone, like there was some kind of sale going on.
Yeah. So where are you on all of this, Jim?
Well, I since the legislation has been done, I'm not so sure I personally would have ever agreed to allow bicycle riding on sidewalks. To me, that just seems like problems waiting to happen. In particularly with what we're doing as far as adding bike paths along the streetways and our emphasis on that. So not being overly critical of that, I'm just saying that I'm not so sure that would have been my vote had I been involved.
And then the other part of that is you have the bike paths and we're Bike City and we're Silver this. But the tough part is, I can ride my bike here, then I have to get off and walk it for a half block, then I can get back and ride it, then I can get off it for... We get the point of we want it to be a safer and civil downtown. Nobody likes to be run over while they're doing their stuff, but I'm with you. It's kind of hard to enforce, and and I guess stencils are cheaper than street signs, so that's
well, they are, but they are to, I guess, highlight the no bike zones. which is where bikes, we prefer that they're not allowed, which to me is confusing in and of itself.
I'm with you.
But I'm also further, when we're a historic town, and we look toward preservation and that sort of thing and keeping things at a certain level. And again, I just read about this morning, these stencils. I've been on the, like I said, East Coast for a couple of days. There could have been a better way. I'm not so sure I'm happy with the stencils on our brick sidewalks and, you know, that sort of thing. We fight hard for planners and other things on development projects. And just to start slapping these things around, it's almost like there's a concert. We, you know, like we find on campus with the chalk writing. And
that's right.
So
a band that's playing later this weekend somewhere. Dismount Zone. Yeah, their two hits are awesome.
Well, but like we expect on campus, they will be removed.
Exactly right. That's
but,
funny.
But, you know, the bottom line is we want everyone to be as safe as possible and to be able to be as compatible as possible, you know, along with bikes and, you know, skateboards and pedestrians in particularly, and then how they relate with our vehicular traffic. So, you know.
It's a balancing act.
Well, it really, really is. And and we'll see where that goes. You know, the good thing about democracy or actually politics or making these decisions is that very few things, with the possible exception of some historic preservation, very few things are carved in concrete and can't be reviewed and changed at some point.
We like the sound of that. One more before we let you go, since the city council is the fiduciary body or whatever they, you know, that sounds like a term I'm using improperly. Y'all watch the money. I know you're late to the process because you got there in August, but we saw last week that the city of Bloomington's utilities have, let me get it right here, they have announced some new staffing positions where they have a new director and a new assistant, let me see here, a new assistant director of operations and a new superintendent of the Blucher Pool wastewater treatment plant. Those salaries are put into, that's part of the budget that moves forward, correct? How do these things get paid for moving forward? So this was in this year's budget, or this will have to be in next year's budget? Give us just a little hint of how that process works.
Well, first of all, those two positions, there is, to be a wastewater treatment superintendent, there has to be a certain grade or classification in order to be in that position. And they are kind of tough positions, and looking, many people are looking for them in many communities. So the competition is pretty good on that. But we were basically filling two positions with one person until, you know, we vetted and interviewed other folks for the superintendent of the water treatment plant I'm speaking of at this point. But I do believe that this is very, very important right now to fill that position, mainly because of the new hospital, those considerations. And that water treatment will be moved from Dillman, which is where the other hospital was, to now Blucher Pool, which is where the new one will be.
Okay.
Wow. So with that infrastructure and that increased capacity and, you know, some of our pre-treatment inspections and that sort of thing, I think that's important to fill that position now. Now, with the assistant director, of course, John Langley, who's done a good job and has been there, you know, what seems like decades, is retiring. So, and Tom Axum has been the long-term T&D director or manager, will move into that position. And that he'll work closely with the director, Vic Kelson. And I think that's very important as well. And when our finance person left a while back, Efrak Freckerman, who went to United Way, then, you know, the same thing. You have certain turnovers, and you look for qualified people to fill those positions. And I think everyone understands how important I hold the utilities portion. Now, funding, that's coming from ratepayer fees. Those are not taxpayer dollars per se. All their money or their budgeting is coming from their ratepayer structure. And then that, they come to the city, so we do the final approval based on their income projections, based on the rate structure that, you know, is vetted through IDEM and, you know, and mainly IDEM.
Right, the state's requirements, right.
Yes.
So we've got to have all that done. All right, sounds good. So
easy as pie, right?
If I my acronym chart, you should see it. It's about a block and a half long as I try to keep my whiteboard up to date on it. But, Jim, we always appreciate the information and the insight. It's great catching up with you, and we always appreciate your time opening the door for us here and giving us some more information.
You're fantastic. It is my pleasure.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, my friend. Thanks for your time again this morning.
Great. Have a great day.